back to Psalms again, and tonight we're in the fourth psalm. How's that? The fourth psalm. Again, it's a short psalm. It's a pretty short psalm. So I'm just going to read the whole psalm, and then we'll consider some of the thoughts in here. The fourth psalm. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And so again, he starts out this Psalms like a lot of them sometimes it seems like. There's some distress here, but it doesn't just start out with just plain distress, and I thought that was kind of interesting. But he does. He says, hear me when I call. So he always knows who he's calling upon. The psalmist, I appreciate, he reminds us continually reminds us to call on our Lord. He said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And this is the other thing that David was very sure about, was that his righteousness was in God, not in himself. And so he says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And so he knows who to call on. He knows where his righteousness lies. And I was thinking about, as Erlene's been given the messages on the pictures of Jesus in Hebrews and so on, I was thinking about how he's our righteousness, and we know where we go. And so we also know that we don't have any righteousness in our own selves, but rather it is the righteousness of Christ. And so we know who to call on, and we can call on God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And so you get the impression here that the psalmist understands about being in distress, but he also understands that God is the one that gives him the victory. This thought about enlarging, we find it in different ways in Scripture. One of the things that I kind of looked through a little bit was when God speaks to his people, Israel, in Exodus, and I think it's in the 34th chapter. I didn't write it down, but he speaks there about enlarging their borders. And, God gave them their inheritance, and it was a large inheritance. And he is the one that enlarged, if you will, their borders. And the thought about enlarging, I think, has a couple of applications here. One is that when in distress, and you'll see this sometimes in Scripture about being in a strait, and that word's used in the King James, but it means to be in a narrow place, or to be pressed in. And that's kind of how we feel when we're in a place of distress, like things are pressing in on us. Things are closing in. And so there's a thought here about God enlarging, opening up and removing that pressing feeling, if you will, from us and giving us victory. And then also, of course, there's a thought about how God does enlarge our borders, if you will, spiritually. He increases our inheritance, if so to speak, as we take in his word and as we allow him to work in our life, he is increasing, and we are laying hold of more and more of what he has. And so he says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. When I first read these, sometimes you read this and you read this first thing and you think, why would he say that? Because later on he says, I know you hear me. This is where our heart often comes to, and we need to be willing to go to God and say, I need you, and I need you in this situation, and I need your help. We know that he hears us, but he wants us to call upon him. He does want us to call upon. He knows our needs. He knows our situations. We're not ever telling God something he doesn't already know. But he does want us to call on him when we are in need. In fact, he wants us to call on him all the time. But in our need, he certainly wants us to call on him and not just take that attitude of, well, he knows my situation, so I won't bother him. But he likes us to call on him. He wants us to. And so he goes on, he says, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Well, God hears our prayers. And, you know, anytime God hears our prayers, by the way, that's the mercy of God, which, of course, was shown in his son, Jesus Christ, because the only reason we can come to him in prayer is because of Jesus Christ, because God showed mercy on the cross to each of us that came to Jesus Christ. And so really his mercy is displayed every time that we come to him and he hears and answers us. His mercy is on display. God doesn't owe us anything, but he is a merciful and gracious God. And the psalmist knew this because David understood that he didn't deserve anything. I was thinking about when Nathan came to him and God sent Nathan, and Nathan came and told him about what God was going to do for his posterity. And David said, it's unbelievable that you would do this for me. He knew that he didn't deserve any of that. And so he knows that he falls continuously on the mercy of God, and we do as well. And then here comes his the thing that is pressing him in now. It says, O ye sons of men, verse 2, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? And so he is being persecuted, and he says, how long? And I like this thought. He says, how long will you love vanity, emptiness? Well, those that persecute God's people, that's exactly what they're going after, is vanity. And it says, seek after leasing. The word leasing there, it has thought of falsehood or lying. By going after him and trying to, it says, turning his glory into shame. Certainly that they're doing that by a lie because it's not true. But they're seeking after their own, as we saw this morning, seeking after their own as man does. They're seeking after vanity. And it's emptiness. There's no value in it. And they're certainly seeking after lying. And it says Selah. So there's a time to stop and pause and think here. I think that the psalmist has two things he wants us to stop and think about. One is, do we know who we call upon? And secondly, are we aware that when the world is persecuting us or the enemy is persecuting us in some way, that's about vanity, and it's not true. There's no truth in that. You know, the enemy persecutes us, and he comes after us in different ways. There's no truth in that. He seeks to discredit, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ by discrediting what God is doing in our lives, but we know who we call upon. And so we can stop and think about those things. We know the one that brings us out and enlarges us and brings us into a place that is not pressing him. Verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. So this is the rock and the hope that David clings to. Even though they are persecuting him and essentially using lies, if you will, this is what he knows and holds to. And I think it's important as God's people for us to be reminded about the things that we hold on to know what the truth is. And he says here, no. In other words, this is what the truth is, that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess when the enemy comes at us, sometimes, you know, we can say this back to him. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly. Well, we know we're not godly in ourselves, but we certainly know that we have the righteousness of Christ and that God has set us apart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when we call on him, he will hear us. And, you know, I think we need to be reminded about that, and that is something that we can stand on and lay hold of as a solid truth that doesn't change even in the time of distress and trial. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And some translations translate this it's quoted in by Paul in Ephesians 4 that says, I just now realized that's the same chapter. That's interesting. Anyway, sorry. I get distracted easily. Paul quotes that. It says, be angry and sin not. There's probably that thought is probably in here because the word stand, that's translated here, stand in awe, it means to be tremble. And so it sometimes is used with the thought of being angry. But he says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And then another Selah here. Commune with your own heart. We need to take time to consider our own selves. You know, Paul says that we should examine ourselves and encourages us that we should examine ourselves. And we do that according to God's word. We don't let the enemy decide for us. The enemy doesn't set the standard. He also doesn't, he's not the one that determines where our life is. That is between us and the Lord, and the Lord knows. And this thought about communing with your own heart upon your bed and be still, and I like that thought about be still. Sometimes we need to get in God's presence and be still a little bit. And let him speak to us and talk to us. And he will show us the things that are necessary if there's something in our lives. He will show us that. And he also does the work, of course. So it all is from him and by him. And so these are something for us to be thinking about. We know that the Lord is on our side and that he hears us when we call. And even when the enemy tries to come against us and accuse us, we take that to the Lord, and that's between us and the Lord. And the Lord will deal with the things that are in our lives as they need to be dealt with, if we will allow him. And so I really like that thought about be still. It really means to just kind of be quiet and peaceful, if you will. I know it says, you know, on your bed. It doesn't have to be that location. But the word here, to be still, it really has more of the thought of quietness, silence, if you will, and not speaking so much. Sometimes we just need to let God speak to us. And it's good for us. You know, he calls on the Lord and he says, I know the Lord hears me. But sometimes it's good for us to be quiet for a few minutes and let the Lord speak to us. And, you know, he does that as we study his word as well. And sometimes, you know, you can just sit and read and study God's word. You don't have to be saying anything, but the Lord will speak to you there. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Well, we have certainly a sacrifice, if you will, of righteousness. And so this just reminded me that, you know, what we have to offer God is exactly what God has given us. That is, we have the life of Christ that is in us. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we're told to offer the sacrifices of praise, the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And so we certainly want to do that. But anything that we offer to God, it comes from the life of Christ. So there's nothing we have in ourselves to offer him, but certainly he has given us something, and he has given us the righteousness of his son. And so that is what we have before him. And it says, put your trust in the Lord. And this is probably the key part of this chapter. Put your trust in the Lord. No matter what things are coming our way, no matter what things are distressing us, no matter how the enemy is attacking us, our trust is in the Lord. And that's in all ways and in all situations. We trust in the Lord to work in our lives, and we trust in the Lord to bring us both into the trial and through the trial. We know that the trials are going to come, And the psalmist in the 119th Psalm, he says, I didn't write that one down either. I should have, because he says, in your righteousness, you have afflicted me. I believe is how he says it. But he's saying God's affliction is true and is necessary. And he knows this, and we know this as well, that the afflictions that come our way are necessary, but we trust in the Lord. We always trust in the Lord, because whatever he's bringing our way is for our good, and he is always with us, as we are reminded often through Scripture, as we see that God always is faithful. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? This one really seemed appropriate to me in the time in which we are now, because it seems like we're in a time frame that, you know, just every time you turn around, there's something evil, something bad happening, and people are saying, well, you know, where are we going to find any good? Who's going to show us any good? Well, sometimes even as God's people, we get into that situation where we just think, oh, there's just nothing good. Who's going to show me anything good? Well, so I think he answers a question for us. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. We need to look to the Lord. The good that is in our lives, it all comes from him. Clearly, all good things come from the Father. And so every good gift is from above. And we know this. And sometimes we have to be reminded, because we do kind of get in that situation of thinking, well, where are we going to find anything good? Everything seems to be bad. Well, we need to look. We need to look up, because the Lord is looking down on us. This thought about, Lord, lift the light of thy countenance on us, is also part of just turn to Numbers. I can't even think what I wanted to say. Turn to Numbers with me, the 6th chapter. A blessing. Man, I just went from my head for a minute. Part of a blessing. In Numbers, the 6th chapter, God says this to Moses. In verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. I love this blessing. This is such it's a good thing to remember. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. But I love this blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And he does. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. I don't know, you know, you really have to kind of think about that and let the Lord express it to you. But when I think about that, I just think about God's glory shining down on us, and that he is always looking, and he knows, and he's watching, and he is gracious unto us. And it says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, we certainly need that in today's world. And so when we come to that place where it seems like, where are we going to find any good? Well, we know where to find the good. We look to the Lord, and we know that he's looking on us. He says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. I think that the psalmist here is, by saying this, this is a reminder to him about where that which is good is going to be found. I don't think he's trying to imply that God is not already lifting the light of his countenance upon us, but it's a reminder to himself of where that's going to be found. Verse 7, he says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And this is just, he uses this thought about the corn and the wine to try to give a comparison level, right? You know, we have to compare things sometimes. You know, this is better than that, and this is better than that, and so you can find things and you can use comparisons. Well, when their corn and their wine increased, that was a time of great happiness, because they had food and what they needed. It was an indication of plenty. And he says here, you've put gladness in my heart more than in the time. So he's doing that kind of what Paul does with the much mores, you know, there's this and then there's much more than that. Well, God puts a gladness in our heart that is above that which can come from mere worldly things. Certainly, if we're prospering in the natural and blessed in the natural, that's certainly a wonderful thing. But God puts a gladness in our heart that is above that. It's something that goes beyond all of that. One of the ways this word could be translated is exceeding gladness or exceeding joy. And so it brings that kind of superiority thought. It's beyond the norm, if you will. And this is what God does. So even in the time of distress, we know who to call on, and he puts gladness in our heart. And it's a gladness that can't compare to the things that the world might bring our way. And then verse 8, and what a great way to end this chapter. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And I like that thought. And we had a similar thought in the last chapter, obviously. And we looked at that. He says in verse 5 of the previous chapter, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Here he goes a little further. And he says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. The thought here has to do with the fact that, you know, if you think about David being persecuted, I was thinking about, you know, when Saul was persecuting him and he's, you know, he goes to a cave and every moment of his life, it seems like you just don't know, you know, am I safe? Am I not safe? And here he says, I can lay me down in peace and sleep. And peace, that's that quietness again that God gives to us. It comes from a word that means safety, actually, which is interesting because that's really what we're kind of thinking about. But it really is a peace that God gives. And so in our lives, especially thinking spiritually here, even in the midst of this turmoil in which we live, you know, when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples on that stormy sea, it says he was sleeping. And they said, how can you sleep? Well, they couldn't because they were so distraught about the storm. You know, the storm often is distressing. And sometimes it keeps us from being able to rest. And that's really the thought about sleeping here, is to be able to rest. And so God gives us a rest, spiritually a rest that can't be equaled anywhere else and can't be found anywhere else. It's easy to be distressed by the waves of the world today. There's a lot of them. They're everywhere. And I mean, you can't turn on the news without seeing it. And it's easy to be distressed by that. But we have a Heavenly Father who can give us peace in the middle of that so that we can rest, so that our spirit can be rested and not restless, which is the opposite of that, restless. We don't need to be restless. We are able to rest in him. So he says at the end of this, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. There's no other place where we're going to find safety. The world today is looking for safety, and they have lots of ideas and ways in which they think they're going to achieve that. But there's only one place where we're truly going to find safety. There is no safety in this world or in the leaders of this world or anything like that. Our safety is in the Lord. And it's only because of him that we can be rested, if you will, and not be distressed by the waves of the world around us. And so I appreciate that the psalmist who suffered persecution, who had distresses of all sorts. I always think about David, even as king. You know, some people think, oh, he was king. That was, you know, that's got to be great, you know, to be king. I don't know. If you think about that for a little bit, all the responsibility that fell upon him when he became king. And he took that very seriously. And that could be that could weigh you down a lot, and it could bring with its own kind of distress. So even in the time when he wasn't being persecuted by Saul anymore, now he's king. Even then, there was so many things, and he couldn't just take it on his own. He needed somewhere to go. And you know, for us, it's the same thing. We might think, "Oh, I'm in this good place right now, and so I'm okay here, and I'll take care of myself." But the enemy isn't going to let us just stay in that nice place that we might find ourselves in once in a while. We need to continuously be going to the Lord and continuously leaning upon Him and laying hold of these things that we saw in here, like verse 3, for example, the things that we know and the things that are rocks for us to stand on and for us to lay hold of. And when we do, then we certainly will be able to lay down in peace and sleep, because we'll know for sure that He is the one that causes us to dwell in safety. And that's all I have tonight. Is there any questions or comments tonight? Go ahead. Sure, absolutely.